Hello and welcome to CrossLink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski, your host of the show that talks about health from the eye teeth on down. I'd like to welcome you again to this radio program, to this podcast. I've been extremely busy managing to build up my practice here in Sun Prairie, so sorry it's been a long time since we've held our last time together. It's not because I have been laying around, or it's not because I've been sick. So those are two super duper important things, right? I've been extremely excited about the practice in Sun Prairie called Primal Air. I've gotten a few referrals now from other practitioners, so that's exciting. And things are moving along. One of the things that we decided to do to get a little bit more understanding in at least the neighborhood was to start a television show, which we are going to be recording this week. And I think that'll be a lot of fun. It'll give me an opportunity to explain more about what orofacial myofunctional therapy is. And we'll also be able to talk with other clinicians in and around the county, chiropractors, dentists, hygienists, oral surgeons, you know, all these different kinds of people. So be able to bring this oral systemic process together tighter. So I'm excited about doing that. And I just hope it's as exciting as to other people as it is to me. I, you know, it's always kind of that way, but that's neither here nor there. I really wanted to talk to you today about chewing gum, and I'm going to tell you why. I have been working with my co-author on this oral health cookbook. She has been fantastic to work with. She's extremely tolerant of my little dry periods where I'm all wired up into some other something. And we've been working virtually, you know, not together at all for some time, but the last couple of weeks we've been working together. And last week I was thinking to myself, you know, we should put in a recipe for chewing gum. Not many people make chewing gum. Nobody I know has ever made chewing gum. So that's what I thought would be a good idea. And so I asked her, I said, what do you think about having a recipe on chewing gum? And she thought that was fantastic. Every idea I have, she loves. So I hope that keeps on going. But So I wrote my little piece about chewing gum and I added a recipe and I thought, well, you know, I haven't really looked at chewing gum very much recently. I have a section in a number of my life programs that call for chewing gum and understanding the benefits of chewing gum. And it's really a fascinating piece of equipment. Now, earlier this year, I did an interview. This is 2016. I did an interview with a orthodontist, a third generation orthodontist in the UK called Dr. Mew, M-E-W, like a kitty cat makes that sound. And he said something that was pretty controversial at a meeting of orofacial myofunctional therapy. And he said that he uses chewing gum. And I'm finding for my own patients right now that I have that chewing gum can be beneficial if it's used correctly in stimulating salivary flow and in improving muscle tone and exercising the muscle. So right away now, a lot of dentists are like, oh no, oh no. And that's what was happening at that orofacial myofunctional therapy meeting, was that everybody was all up in arms about using chewing gum the way that this doctor was talking about. And what he was recommending was that children starting at age 4 would chew gum for an hour a day. And that stimulated bone growth and improved the size of the maxilla and improved the size of the mandible. So yay for that. So that's one thing, but I'm writing this cookbook. I'm calling it more of a recipe book because there's not a lot about cooking in it. I'm just manipulating some recipes. She and I, June and I, are manipulating some recipes to help people with their oral health by using food, actual food, and getting away from processed food. So we talk about, I don't know, I don't want to talk about the whole thing of that. We'll get to that in another episode. But the chewing gum thing came up as I was also looking in my book on healing spices, and there was a comment about cinnamon chewing gum improving cognitive ability, and that they're using cinnamon gum, or it has been studied in dementia patients. So I was like, huh, I would like to go back to the original source for that. And so I went to PubMed.gov and I was like, okay, what's going on in chewing gum? And holy cow, what has happened to chewing gum the last 3 years that I haven't looked has just been unbelievable. So I thought I would do an episode of Crosslink Radio talking about chewing gum and the benefits of chewing gum. In my programs for the last few years, I've had a little section about, well, a little comment more, about chewing gum and weight loss, and that the American Dietetic Association had recommended chewing gum as a replacement for higher calorie foods. And that never really sat right with me. I'm like, okay, that's like saying eat an apple instead of a couple of donuts. I mean, where's the satisfaction between what you get from a donut as compared to what you get from an apple or celery sticks, right? It's not just a calorie swapping kind of an arrangement. Believe me, I know everything that doesn't work for weight loss, because weight loss is in the head. It is not in the stomach and has very little to do with calories. And I have yet to figure out what's going on in my head that keeps my adipose tissue growing. Turns out chewing gum might be very, very helpful. So this was a study that was published this year, in May of 2016. In the journal Physiological Behaviors. And they too talk mostly about calories in this study, and that they replaced chewing gum. So this is with other foods. So let me read right from the abstract. 50 unrestrained obese and non-obese healthy weight women participated in a two-arm crossover study assessing multiple gum chewing occurrences or no gum on subjective ratings of satiety, subsequent sweet and salty snack intake, and general metabolic responses. So these women were asked to chew chewing gum or not chew chewing gum 15 minutes per hour times 3 hours. So three times during a day, they were asked to use chewing gum for 15 minutes. Okay. The total snack energy intake was reduced 10% by gum, but not significantly different from the control. That's what I said. However, overall carbohydrate intake was reduced by gum. So the people that were chewing the gum were avoiding carbohydrates, as in cookies and crackers. This was consistent with a reduction in snacks characterized as high carbohydrate, low fat. BMI-specific effects indicated gum-reduced pretzel intake in obese women and Oreo cookie intake in healthy weight women 3 hours after lunch. So, metabolic responses did not differ between experimental conditions. Chewing gum intermittently post-lunch enhances perceptions of satiety and may have important implications in reducing afternoon high carbohydrate snack intake. So the motion of chewing, they made no comment about what kind of chewing gum or what flavor, and they were able to show that just the act of chewing gum for 15 minutes, three times in a day, was enough to get people to under-consume high carbohydrate snacks in high BMI women and sugary carbohydrate snacks in non-high BMI women. Get some gum. That's study number one that I wanted to go over. This is another one right here. The effect of bed exercises and gum chewing on abdominal sounds, flatulence, and early discharge in early period after cesarean section. Gum chewing has been used in healthcare, studied in healthcare, surgery healthcare for 15 years or more. What they do is, in case you've never had surgery, whatever surgery they do for you, they want you to have a full bowel movement, and they want to make sure that your whole GI tract is moving and gurgling and things are happening in there. And they won't let you leave the hospital until you have a full bowel movement if you have a surgery. So they've been using chewing gum just to stimulate the motility of the intestines. So you've all heard that the intestines kind of use what's called peristalsis, and it kind of squeezes things through the intestinal tract, and then each of the squeezes makes things go down, 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 and that's what's called motility. That's how your food moves through your intestines and doesn't just sit there. So when you chew gum, well, when they put you under, they kind of put you in a paralyzed state, right? And that's what is also paralyzed. So it's pretty hard to detect whether or not that motility is happening. So they make sure that you have a bowel movement before you leave. And in order to stimulate that and improve the speed of that happening, because there's nothing worse than the weight... Then the nurse coming in with an enema capsule and goes, well, you haven't gone yet, so here we go. This is going to help you out. So that's no fun. A little piece of spray chewing gum, that would be much more fun. And that's what they did in this study in women who had a cesarean section. So what they did is they took a total of 120 women, three groups of 40 for gum exercise and control. So gum was given to the groups in the gum section 2 hours after the cesarean. The women chewed the gum for the first 8 hours until flatulence for 15 minutes every 2 hours. So they chewed it for the first 8 hours until they started to get, notice some flatulence, and then 15 minutes every 2 hours after that. The women in the exercise group started moving 2 hours after the cesarean section for the first 8 hours until flatulence for 5 minutes every 2 hours. So I don't understand why these researchers have to say these things in such a complex way, but there you have it. The control group consisted of women under routine treatment and care in the hospital. All women were hourly evaluated in terms of abdominal sounds, flatulence, and defecation. So it was determined that following cesarean section, bowel function started in three groups at the same time. There was no significant difference that in between the three groups. It was determined that the gum group, exercise group, and control group were discharged earlier. There was no significance between the three groups. Isn't that funny? The control group, which didn't get anything, just being in the study got them out of the hospital earlier. This study provides useful information to clinicians and researchers when determining practices such as postoperative standing up in early period, during the early period, gum chewing, and early liquid intake related to postoperative bowel functions after abdominal operations. So if you can't get up, if your feet are sore, you can use chewing gum to stimulate the movement and get you out of there earlier. And it's just as effective as walking around for that purpose. So let's see here. There were a couple of other ones that I thought were pretty amazing. This was a study that used a special ingredient in the chewing gum. And this ingredient is called, shortened, is called CPP-ACP, which was given a trade name of Recaldent. And I think you can still find Trident with Recaldent in it in the United States. CPP ACP, for the chemistry part of this lecture, is called casein phosphopeptide and stabilized amorphous calcium phosphate, CPP ACP, on the human enamel lesion associated or not with the abrasion. And what they found is that the incorporation of the CPP-ACP into a sugar-free gum significantly increased the remineralization protection of eroded enamel surface. Here's the thing. Every time you eat, there's a pH drop that happens in your mouth, and your whole mouth gets more acidic. If you have good and healthy saliva, that acid gets diluted and buffered almost immediately, but there's still a little bit of a lapse there where the enamel starts to break apart under this low pH condition. In a person with healthy saliva, you have enough calcium and phosphate in your saliva to rebuild that enamel. And if you don't, you could use some help. And that's where this CPP-ACP gum, the Recaldent gum, would be really effective. So if you have any cavities that you need to have filled, you can rest assured that you have parts in your teeth that are microscopically broken down that are not going to be able to get filled back up again very easily. So it's important to find something that's going to remineralize your teeth as you are building the enamel back up again after a meal. So chewing a gum with the Recaldent in it, again, has proven to be effective at helping teeth remineralize. Probiotics are big in the news, and there is reason to believe that adding probiotics to xylitol chewing gum may be helpful. This was a study, Food Functions, in 2016, that was earlier this year, supplementation of xylitol-containing chewing gum with probiotics, a double-blind randomized pilot study focusing on saliva flow and saliva properties. So the aim of the study was to investigate the impact of daily chewing for 12 weeks of two different probiotic gums compared with placebo on saliva flow rate, saliva IgA levels, and saliva pH. The intervention study included 54 adult volunteers with hyposalivation in a double-blind randomized and placebo-controlled design with three parallel groups. That's for the gibberish part of the course. Volunteers were randomly assigned to three different groups. In group A, they were given the placebo. Group B received the probiotic chewing gum with bifidobacterium, and group C received a lactobacillus grouping of probiotics. And so they were chewing those gums for about 3 months, not solid, obviously. Two volunteers from group B left the study for personal reasons, leaving fewer. What they found is through personal interviews, no side effects of probiotic or placebo chewing gums were observed. Chewing gum with and without probiotics had a positive impact on salivary flow, salivary pH, and IgA levels. So adding probiotics to a xylitol chewing gum can be helpful. Now, you'll notice that I said it was a bifidobacteria and a lactobacteria. That's all you can use. You can't use any of the strep groupings of bacteria with xylitol because xylitol will confuse the bacteria into dying off. So that's why they use those different bacteria. But it's another way to get some kind of probiotics. Now, it sounds as though these were intestinal probiotics that were used, not necessarily probiotics that would attach themselves into the oral biofilm, that these bacteria were intended to be helpful down along the track a little bit further. So we have some opportunity here to add probiotics to xylitol chewing gum with effect, especially among, especially with the saliva production and saliva health. So this here, let me just see here. Sorry, one second here, because my big interest was to show chewing gum as a positive impact on cognitive performance and mood. And that caught my attention a few years ago. I think it was 2011 or so, 2013, I don't know. And it was a series of articles that was published in a cooking journal. It was, I think it was called Appetite. And they had mixed reviews about cognition improvement with chewing gum. So along with this finding in the Healthy Spices book, and cinnamon and the chewing gum with dementia, I thought, well, gee whiz, I'm going to look and see if they've done any more work on cognition and chewing gum. So I found a couple of papers, current papers, that looked into this. This here is from Gerontology International from 2013. And let's see, the results found. So this was an aged grouping of people over 75 years. The assessment of chewing ability was carried out by a dentist using color changeable chewing gum. Activities of daily living, which we use that term here as well, depression and subjective quality of life were assessed by questionnaire. Cognitive status was assessed by this MMSE, and there's a bunch of other little tests that they used for that. So in the results section of the abstract, it said the number of teeth was significantly related to chewing ability. Yes, I would imagine that to be true. The participants with low chewing ability had significantly low ADL scores, that's activities of daily living, in the items of self-maintenance and intellectual activity. There was a significant association between low chewing ability and depression. Lower cognitive functions were significantly related to low chewing ability. The participants with low chewing ability had lower food variety, less frequent intake of beans, vegetables, seaweed, nuts than the participants with high chewing ability. So, here we go. Low chewing ability evaluated by color changing gum was associated with low scores in activities of daily living, lower cognitive functioning, depression, and food insufficiency in community dwelling elderly. That's big. Our elders in long-term care need to be able to chew. We spend a lot of time and a lot of money in the United States keeping people in their teeth because people with teeth live longer and better, and that is undeniable. And this is another way to show that, and this is another way to show that chewing gum can be helpful in getting these people to chew. Another study that was done quite some time ago looked at chewing gum, facial muscle tone, and sugar clearance times in long-term care residents. And they found the people who chewed the gum had better muscle tone in their face, that they had a wider variety of food, and that they ate better because they could taste better. They weren't putting salt and sugar on all their food. Their tongue coating was also less. And we also know that the coating on the tongue in people that are living dependently is an indicator of pneumonia, impending pneumonia. So we want to get that cleared off there. So chewing gum is very helpful in doing that. Here's a study from Biomed International. Chewing gum, cognitive performance, mood, well-being, and associated physiology. Chewing gum during the workday was associated with higher productivity and fewer cognitive problems, raised cortisol levels in the morning, and did not affect heart rate. The results emphasize that chewing gum can attenuate reduction in alertness, suggesting that chewing gum enhances worker performance. Yay, chewing gum. So that's pretty awesome. There's this little study that showed that chewing gum improved cognition and abilities. This here study is, Well, I guess it's just the same here. The next two studies are chew the pain, or this is having to do with pain level. Chew the pain away, oral habits to cope with pain stress to stimulate cognition. And this was also from 2015. It looks like it was the chewing gum year for this particular journal. Both stress and cerebral functional specialization. That means the involvement of specific brain structures in distinctive cognitive processes are hypothesized to play a major role in the underlying physiological mechanisms of the diverse effects of chewing gum on cognition, stress, and pain. So that's what they found in that study. This one here, mastication as a stress coping behavior. Some studies demonstrate that chewing gum during exposure to stress decreases plasma and salivary cortisol level and reduces mental stress, although other studies report no such effect. Here we discuss the neuronal mechanisms that underline the interactions between masticatory function and stress coping behavior in animals and humans. This particular publication is free. The whole article is free. So once you get there, you can open that up and read the entire thing and how they concluded. And let's see, here we go. Conclusion and further directions on that paper. They always say further studies are necessary. The amygdala is impacted by chewing gum and chewing. So that's awesome. That is the hind brain, the lizard brain, the thing that just takes over when you're not looking. It makes you do stuff like your heart racing or whatever. So they're calling for more and more studies. Studies using functional magnetic resonance imaging and functional near-infrared spectroscopy will be useful for analyzing the brain activities as the study of this moves along further. So they're looking very hard at how chewing affects the entire brain functioning situation there. So that's pretty awesome. So here we are closing already. We're out of time and we're not going to get to talk about the effects of caffeinated chewing gum on muscle pain. So they're being studied there too. And let's see, this last one is the effect of chewing gum on diet induced thermogenesis. Let's quickly do that. Gum chewing enhanced DIT, diet-induced thermogenesis, but the effect of chewing gum on DIT did not exceed that of slow eating when consuming a meal. So slow down your food. That's what we teach. Chew your gum as often as possible. You've got a lot of benefits in chewing gum, particularly if you're choosing wisely. And have fun with your gum and have fun with the rest of your week. I hope you have a good rest of the day today and share these episodes because they're good and fun for everybody. Have a great one. This is Shirley Gutkowski signing off for Crosslink Radio.